You may also want to push your government to send a comprehensive delegation to the UPR in Geneva. We often saw that the government which took the UPR the most seriously are those which send multidisciplinary delegations. I mean, a delegation which comes from different ministries. If your government is only sending, you know, a group of diplomats, it's of course less powerful than if in addition to diplomats you also have officials from the Ministry of Justice, from Domestic Affairs, from Health, Women's Rights, etc., etc. So that's also something that you should make clear to your own government. And finally, you should already engage with your government before the UPR takes place on what, you know, would be the achievements that are expected in the context of the UPR. What, frankly speaking, we should tell our governments what are our top priorities, what would be the recommendations we would be pushing for, and what are the kind of pledges or commitments that, you know, we would really like our governments to reply to in the context of the UPR. So we should really maximize this engagement and mobilize, you know, various actors within our governments in addition to mobilizing NGOs themselves. A second obvious target is, of course, the reviewing states. So the governments which will participate in the review of your country. I'm sure you will have a number of discussions in the course of this training on how to do the advocacy within the context of the UPR, but a couple of ideas maybe. It's important to engage governments that will review your governments, your country, in the follow-up to what they said last time in the context of the previous UPR. The previous UPR happened 4.5 years ago. That's much longer than the lifetime of a diplomat in Geneva. So you may expect that the person who is going to deal with your UPR, the preparation of their statement to the UPR of your government, is going to be a different person. So you have often to start from scratch. That person may even not have a read to what was said by their own country 4 years ago. So it's up to you to shape, in a way, the way in which you want this government to engage into the UPR, to have a critical look at what they said 4 years ago. Was it too vague? Was it not specific enough? Was it completely out of target? So these are issues that you can really look at before you engage with governments domestically. We as NGOs need also to clarify very clearly and very precisely why our specific recommendations make sense. As I just said, many of the recommendations during the first cycles and still during the second cycle are way too vague, way too general, and it's difficult to measure whether progress has been done or not on the basis of these recommendations. So it's important for us when we engage with diplomats to always remind them that they should, as much as possible, bring recommendations which are measurable in our national context. It's also important to make sure that you meet with diplomats from some kind of a diversity of regional representations. As NGOs, we often go and talk to Western diplomats because they are the, you know, most obvious targets on human rights issues. But it's also important to talk to governments, to countries in your own region, depending on the issues you want to raise. You know, women's rights are not only interesting for Western countries, but there are a number of Asian countries, of African countries, for which women's rights is important. And the voices of non-Western governments in the context of the UPR is also very much heard. And sometimes, you know, more clearly heard than it might be better to have a good recommendation from Burkina Faso on women's rights than having 10 good recommendations from 10 different Western European countries. So don't forget to try to target the number of delegations which are not your obvious or natural advocacy targets. So that was before the UPR, but also in the context of the follow-up to the UPR, as you may have understood, what is very much missing in the context of the Universal Periodic Review is an actual follow-up to the recommendations being made. And the follow-up and implementation remains very much in the hands of the government reviewed. And one of the things that we are trying to encourage is that the government which made the recommendations to your country should keep the pressure on the government of your country to, you know, ensure that there is an actual implementation of that recommendation, to clarify what it means, what are the expected steps to be taken in the context of a two-line recommendation. So if Switzerland made a recommendation on the need to revise a law in your country, or the need to engage with civil society for the definition of a new regulation for freedom of association, for example, Switzerland should be made accountable to follow up with your government at each of their bilateral discussions, you know, to take stock of what's been done, what still has to be done. And it's in a way up to the recommendation-making country, in this example, Switzerland, to really engage your government to maintain the pressure and ensure that the interpretation of the recommendation is not only left in the hand of the government which received this recommendation. And to conclude, a third target is, of course, the media. In general, NGOs are not too bad in engaging with the media, but we often need to be more professional and more systematic in the way we do it. But I think that the media should be an essential component of the way in which the UPR has an impact domestically or not, and are, you know, the exit door from the bubble that your government would like to have as being the UPR, where, you know, it's a debate in Geneva, it's 3 hours, it passes and then we all forget it. You need to ensure that the media is an important component of your outreach capacity, and in this case, mobilizing NGOs to, you know, maximize our impact on the media is essential. You should pitch stories to journalists, like, for the couple of weeks preceding the UPR review. It takes time to interest them. They need to understand what it is, what it is not. They need to understand what are the priorities. They need to understand that not everybody is going to raise these priorities, but that, you know, even if this priority is raised once, your government is expected to respond to that. So you need to clarify and to demystify what this UPR review is with journalists who are often very far away and who deal with too many issues to, you know, naturally understand what it is. And you need to make sure that they reproduce a story. They reproduce stories which really reflect your concerns and not only the concerns of the government, because the government can speak, NGOs cannot speak during the UPR debate, but it's up to you to translate what happened into what is media catchy, what is interesting for the media. Given that NGOs are in general quite many, what about a social media campaign? I mean, is your country an appropriate forum to launch a Twitter campaign? Are the media using Twitter? Would it be an appropriate forum to, you know, pour you into this sphere your interpretation of what the debate is important about? And finally, international media. Frankly speaking, it's quite rare to see that international media have been giving a lot of interest to the UPR. On some occasions, they did. Bahrain, for example, China next week will certainly attract a lot of attention. The USA also attracted a lot of attention. But it's also up to us to make the job of looking at how, you know, international correspondents in your country can pick up a story about the UPR. I remember that during the first cycle, the main French newspaper, Le Monde, published a half-page article about Colombian NGOs submitting their UPR five-page submission. So, I mean, it was really fascinating to see that what we do in our day-to-day job, submitting a five-page documentation to the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, had triggered a half-page, you know, analysis of the human rights record in Colombia. Can you do that? Would it attract attention? Not necessarily from all of you, but, you know, if you manage to convince a correspondent from your country to pitch a story, that could be the right moment to do it. So, the mobilization of civil society is important, but my two advices is, first of all, it should remain very time effective. Don't lose too much time to make it effective. Try to maximize the times, I mean, maximize the impact of the time that you use. And secondly, mobilizing NGOs should be targeting at not only mobilizing ourselves, but also reaching out to other partners, your government, other governments, and those which can make the UPR review more visible domestically, which are basically the media. So I'll stop here, and maybe you have a number of questions, I hope.